This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot going on in Douglas County. We try to cover all angles of things you need to know about. Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center, in today. You have been pretty busy lately.
Oh, Kyle, we have been very busy. Very busy.
And it seems like an especially busy season. What's related to all that?
Well, we've been looking at our numbers, and year to date, we've taken in about 500 more animals than we had at this time last year. I think it's a combination of lack of spay and neuter from COVID. I think it's also the eviction crisis that a lot of people have been losing their homes, nowhere to live with their pets. So we've been seeing a lot more animals surrendered because of that.
And is that a common thing happening at other similar facilities elsewhere?
Yes. All animal shelters across the country right now are feeling it. Everyone has more animals than we are used to having. Everyone is, you know, full. And it's really just something that shelters across the country are dealing with right now.
Well, it's an interesting situation. I mean, it's one thing to have an increase, but that's almost really off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider that we take in overall about 4,000 animals each year, an additional 500 is quite a bit.
I mean, that's like, what, 12, 13%?
Yeah, and that's only halfway through the year, so we'll see how the rest of the year goes. Thankfully, our intake seems to be slowing a bit, so we're hoping that we're maybe on a little bit of a downward trend.
So we wanted to cover kind of a lot of different things today because you have so much going on, and you've got a big fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing we have going on right now, our Paws for a Cause fundraiser. It's our annual fundraising event that happens usually in August, and we used to have it at the shelter. We're actually changing it up a bit this year. We're going to have it in September, on September 23rd at Melrose Vineyards. And tickets are on sale now.
So that you move it a little later, you don't have to worry about the heat quite so much, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll see. We're a little worried about, hopefully there's no heat, no smoke, none of those things, and we get to just enjoy beautiful Melrose Vineyards and have a nice dinner, auction, live music, that kind of a thing. So you can get tickets at our website, savinggracepetadoptioncenter.org.
Are there particular things you're trying to do with this event? I mean, is there like a project or is this just kind of overall fundraising?
So it actually makes up about 10% of our overall annual income or our overall budget. So it's a hugely important fundraiser for us, just for our general operations. But within the fundraiser itself, we'll raise money for our new veterinary clinic. We need to get some new equipment to go in there. We'll raise money for the spay and neuter program and for our pet food bank and all kinds of fun stuff.
So how much are tickets? How do people get them?
$75 for an individual ticket. There's $650 for a table of eight, and you can get them either on our website or you can give us a call and we can do it over the phone.
All right. And again, what's the date for that?
September 23rd.
All right. We'll talk about that again before we wrap things up. Your kitten adoptions and intake reopening next week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, about 2 weeks ago, we had a couple litters of kittens that came in that were very sick. And they were sick with something called panleukopenia, which is a contagious illness. And they had been housed with other kittens unknowingly. And so we had to do kind of a shutdown of all of our kitten cat adoptions and then also all of our cat intake. So we weren't able to bring in any new cats because we didn't want to expose anyone to potential illness. And then we didn't want to adopt anyone out if they happened to be sick. So thankfully, our medical team implemented some protocols right away. Our cat team was able to make sure that everyone got disinfected and cleaned and properly taken care of for the past 2 weeks. And we will be reopening on Tuesday for normal operations.
Kind of an unusual situation.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, it happens in shelters, especially when you've got large populations of cats and dogs. And with the fact that we are housing at maximum capacity right now, pretty much all the time, that makes it much more likely that we're going to see something like this. But thankfully, this incident also helped us find some holes in our protocols and is going to enable us to be much more well prepared for anything like this that might happen in the future.
Now, you're talking about being kind of full occupancy almost very often, but part of that, too, that I'm fascinated with is just how many animals you've got out in foster situations.
Yeah, foster and adoptions. I mean, thankfully, I always refer to it as kind of like a wheel. As long as our wheel is still turning, we can keep bringing those animals in. But if the wheel, if something, there's a cog in the wheel, that's when things get really screwed up. So this outbreak of this illness was a bit of a cog in our wheel. However, I think we have done... You know, I said we had taken in 500 more animals. I think we've adopted out close to 300 more animals than we had at this time last year. So that's really great. And then our adoption or our foster program. I mean, the challenge is that all of those animals have to come back into the shelter at some point from foster unless they get adopted from foster. And we still have about 200 kittens in foster care right now.
So how does the foster care program work?
It's all based on our wonderful community, Kyle. Families just step up and we'll take a litter of kittens. Or they'll take a dog or an injured or sick cat that they'll keep at their home, and we give them all the supplies to care for them, show them how to do it, and then as soon as we're able to, we bring them back into the shelter for adoption.
So how does that work from the animal side of things? Mm-hmm. I mean, trying to be animal psychologist on the radio is probably not my strong suit, but I mean, the animal is in a, you know, in a home situation, which is better than a shelter situation, but the plan is for them to not be there forever.
Yeah, it's always better. I mean, as good as we can make the shelter, it's still never going to be a great place for animals, and that's just true of any shelter. Animals are much more comfortable in a home. We love to get our animals out of the shelter and into a home whenever we can because they are just going to show their true colors. You know, we're going to get to learn a lot more about them. Foster families get a chance to have a really unique adoption or a really unique volunteer experience with getting to volunteer in your own home, right? You don't get to do that any other way, I don't think, really. So it's a really neat way to volunteer and give back to the community. And again, it just, it shows us those animals' true colors, and we get to learn so much more about them.
And do some of these foster situations lead to adoptions?
Yes, and sometimes people call that a foster failure, but we like to call it a foster success.
Neat. So recently, well, really this week, the cooling center going on at the Roseburg Senior Center. And I understand you were involved in helping with that from the animal side.
Yeah, we just were thrilled to see that the cooling center was acknowledging the importance of the human-animal bond and people not being willing to leave their pets. You know, when they need to take care of themselves, they're always going to have their pets with them. So we were thrilled to see that they had pet crates available for people who needed them. And they had reached out to say they also had a need for pet food. So we had a couple volunteers who came in right off the bat and bagged a whole bunch of food. So they brought that over there this morning for them.
So what is, you know, we all know if we don't have air conditioning where we live, what it's been like this week. What about an animal? I mean, with a dog or a cat in particular, with all that fur.
Yeah, it's definitely, we have a lot of huskies in this area too, and I think that probably summer is not their favorite season. It's, you know, just like people, we need to make sure that they have access to a nice cool area. If you don't have air conditioning, fans, obviously, always have access to water. Leave your pets at home this time of year. Don't bring them with you on your errands because it's just too hot to leave them in the car. It's too risky. It's not worth it.
I know that our older daughter has been down here for several days working at our house and mentioned yesterday that the small little dogs that we have, though they stay indoors, they just go outside periodically, have been drinking a lot more water, and that's in a house with good air conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, another thing to bring up, Kyle, that you kind of mentioned there was just being cognizant of their paw pads on the hot pavement. I mean, people don't think about that a lot. We've always got shoes on, right? But if a good way to test it is to put your hand, the backside of your hand on the ground for 7 seconds. And if you can't leave your hand there for 7 seconds, you shouldn't have your dog out there on that hot pavement.
Yeah. And in fact, yesterday, one of our dogs, which likes to try to escape periodically, did that. But interestingly, because he's known to just go for it down the street, he was in our grass. Then he went over next door. And that was, you know, sidewalk, and they have gravel there and stuff, but he didn't go out into the street. It was almost like, and maybe he did for a moment, I wasn't
smart
there.
Smart guy, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that once in the past, we were walking one of the dogs, this is a few years ago, on a longer walk, and we got over by the art center, and the dog just on its own jumped onto the grass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second, is it that? And it wasn't super warm that day, but obviously it was enough to make a difference.
Yeah, you really don't think about it sometimes. It's really hard to remember stuff like that. But yeah, leaving your pets at home and then just being really cognizant of what that pavement feels like.
All right, more when we come back. Megan Graham from Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. We're going to focus on Riverbend Live, cowboy poetry, and Western music, but we're also going to be talking about a stargazing opportunity out at the Paul Morgan Observatory happening tonight, and we'll talk about other things down the road, plus the new wine exhibit at the Douglas County Museum, and more on Umpqua Valley Live at 4. And on this program on Monday, Kyle Reed from the Oregon Office of State Fire Marshal will talk about defensible space. Megan Graham from Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center covering a lot of different things going on this year. One of the things you've talked about for quite a while is wanting to do more in the spay and neuter area.
Yes, I wanted to just put it out there in the world that we are going to be hiring for a part-time veterinarian to help us with either shelter medicine or spay and neuter, or a little bit of both. And we also are going to be hiring for a certified veterinary technician. So we're struggling with, I think, again, all across the country, it's not only shelters that are full, it's also a veterinary shortage just across the board. And we've felt that here in Douglas County. I mean, vets can't get you in for 2 or 3 months, you know, even if it's something that sort of feels like an emergency. So, you know, finding a veterinarian is going to be our biggest challenge in implementing this new spay and neuter program that we want to start.
So is that a position you've had before?
So we used to have a full-time vet at the shelter. Now we have a part-time vet at the shelter. And so in order to do this additional program, we need to hire another part-time vet.
And talk about the vet clinic. Have you made some changes?
Yeah, so we used to have an area in the shelter called Puppy Plaza. Unfortunately or fortunately, we don't get a lot of puppies in. We don't really have a necessity for Puppy Plaza, so we decided to turn that into our new spay and neuter clinic. We've been working on that over the last 6 months or so. I am hoping that we're going to finish it up here within the next month at least. With inflation and the supply chain issues, it's been a real struggle getting it completed. But we are nearly there. And then we're going to have a big open house party when we do get it finished. I think we'll probably be having that sometime in early October. And then again, as soon as we get those folks hired, we're going to be starting that public spay and neuter program.
It seems like some people, when they get an animal, let's say it's a newborn or fairly close, you know, they do the spay or neuter thing fairly quickly, but obviously a lot of people don't.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know that cats can get pregnant at 4 months old. So spaying and neutering, we like to say fix it month 5. And as long as they're above 2 pounds, it's a really very safe procedure, especially for a veterinarian who's used to it and has done it for a long time. Our vet does thousands of surgeries every year for animals that are for pediatric spay and neuter. And it's really just, for the most part, it's a great thing to get done in terms of just having it done early. Now, there's some studies out there that have, you know, said otherwise, but the studies have not been super definitive and they've been pretty small. So we're still on board with pediatric spay and neuter as being the best option.
Is there a overabundance of cats, et cetera, around the country?
Yes, it's not just Douglas County. I know everyone here feels like we are just drowning in cats, and we are. But most places where cats can survive in like a temperate climate like this, you're going to have lots and lots of cats. And so what we really need is a community cat program, a trap neuter return program, and hopefully we're going to be able to work with the feral cat or the feral cat awareness team coming up soon so that they can do trapping and then we can provide the spay and neuter for them. So again, all kind of hinging on getting that veterinarian and getting that veterinary technician. We have the funding, we have the space, it's all ready to go. We just got to hire those people.
Now, Saving Grace is a 501c3 nonprofit, right?
Correct.
So that means you've got a board of directors. What's their role in all of running the organization?
Yeah, so as the executive director, the board of directors are my boss. They are a group of volunteers who oversee the A lot of the fundraising and strategic planning for the shelter, a lot of the big picture stuff. Right now, we are recruiting for new board members. We have a whole process that you kind of have to go through in order to make sure it's a good fit for both the board or the organization and the person interested in joining. But we're looking specifically for someone with a financial background, someone with a legal background. But it's not limited to that. You know, we're open to other other areas of expertise if people are interested in joining.
So what kind of time commitments tied into that?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on what you have available, but we do one meeting each month on the fourth Tuesday. It's a two-hour meeting, so definitely that. And then we have various committees that we like to have our board members join. So fundraising committees, advocacy committee, I can't remember any of the other ones right off the top of my head, but we usually have you join a committee so that you're doing a little bit more work within between the board meetings. But I'd say, you know, 2 to 4 hours a month, roughly.
And obviously a lot involved there in not just the operations now, but looking down the road.
Yeah, so that's one of the board's main jobs, is to kind of help with the roadmap and the planning for the future and how we're going to get that funding, and just kind of networking and making sure that we do have the resources that we need to achieve the goals that we are putting forth.
And let's see, you've been there now how long?
It's almost been 2 years.
Wow, that's right, because you came on that one particular day we all want to...
That one day that everyone remembers.
Day of the Archie Creek Fire. Welcome to your new job.
Yep.
And it's been pretty busy ever since then. You've gone through a lot of changes during that time. You had that to deal with as kind of its own little crisis of emergency need from the folks up the North Umpqua. And then a few months later, you know, you're in the midst of all of the COVID situation, too, tied in there.
COVID's kind of been in the background this whole time that I've been here. So that's been a very interesting time to be in animal welfare, as I'm sure is true in a lot of different industries. But it's been a wild ride, but we have done so much good work, and I'm so proud of my team at the shelter. They're just incredible people, and they care about animals and people so much, and I'm just so lucky to be here.
What are some of the things in terms of donations other than financial that people can do?
So I think just generally speaking, our greatest need is usually cat food. And that can be either any kind of cat food that we can give out at our pet food bank. So we'll take whatever brand for that. And for our in-house cats at the shelter, we like to feed them Purina One or the Kirkland brand. So we need that all the time. We also need a non-seafood flavored pate food for our kittens. The seafood is not good for their digestive system, so we like to feed them the chicken and the other brands that don't have, or the other flavors that don't have seafood. So we always need that. We always need bleach. We always need laundry detergent. And it's got to be I think it's called HC kind, or the special laundry detergent for newer machines.
Right,
whatever
yeah.
that's called, I forget. But we always need that, and we always need copy paper. You know, usually sometimes you might want to call if we need blankets and towels and stuff like that. Sometimes we have a ton, and sometimes we have a need for it. Right now, I think we're very good on that in particular. But soon we're looking at, speaking of the fire, finishing up our evacuation planning and finishing up getting all the supplies we need for our trailer. So we do have a list on Amazon for supplies that are specifically needed for our disaster response trailer.
And how long have you had that?
We got that a year ago, thanks to the county helping us with a FEMA grant. And we also just applied for a grant from the ASPCA to get a new transport vehicle. So we have fingers crossed on that. We also just signed an MOU with the county and the ASPCA that we will be partners in the event of a major catastrophe or emergency. So it feels really good to have that partnership in place and know that the animals of Douglas County will be taken care of if we have another disaster.
What kind of volunteer help do you need?
Always we need dog walkers, big time. We need hosts who help us out in the front office area. We need cat socializers. We need fosters. We always need fosters, because the more fosters we have, the more animals we can help. I'd say those are our top three needs right now.
And what about the hours that you're open if people need to come out there?
Yeah, so we actually just started back in April. We started opening until 7 p.m. So we're open from noon to 7, Tuesday through Saturday. If you'd like to do an adoption that day, please arrive by 6:30 in order to process that adoption by 7. Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 7.
And again, give folks a website or the information for Paws for a Cause.
Yep, tickets for Paws for a Cause. You can also learn more about volunteering and sign up at SavingGracePetAdoptionCenter.org.
Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace, thanks for coming in. in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.